such sights to show you.
Thinking about that, I was thinking about how we, this is going to come out after the election, and we are recording before the election. So whenever this comes out, I hope everyone's doing okay, considering the circumstances.
And we'll really follow up the next episode. And I'm sure there's going to be much more news.
Yes, next week we're going to be like, what the fuck? Or, you know, we're probably going to be like, what the fuck, regardless.
Or America will be in its final chapter for democracy.
That was disgusting. All right, let's get started. Welcome back, everyone.
Because it's not the final chapter. That's not how it works.
No,
no,
not even
it
close.
It just keeps going,
it just
Alex.
Keeps going. This is the fourth out of 20, approximately 20 million Friday the 13th movies. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes, coming in hot with the wonderful, wonderful puns, as always.
That's what an hour and a half of traffic does to you when you've only had caffeine and now you're only drinking.
I'm concerned for you. Okay, so today, dear listeners, we are covering Friday the 13th, Part 4, the final chapter.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's the last one.
It's the last one.
Totally the final.
They set it up totally so it's the last one.
Yeah, it's exactly. You never see Jason again after this.
Nope.
Ever.
Ever.
Never.
Nope.
No.
It's the last one.
Yeah.
Yep, that's all we got.
Until the new beginning. Yeah.
Fuck. All right, guys, let's jump right into it.
What does IMDb tell us, Alex?
So, after being mortally wounded and taken to the morgue, murderer Jason Voorhees spontaneously revives like it's a video game and embarks on a killing spree as he makes his way back to his home at Camp Crystal Lake.
Oh,
they miss the montage where he's like hitchhiking and like everybody's working for the weekend starts playing.
That'd be so good. He's kind of like, well, that's a weird looking thumb, but you know what? Hey,
come
you look like
in.
That Voorhees guy's. Yeah, it's a living.
It's a living. It zooms in on his face, and it's just like him shrugging.
He's with like a commune of hippies.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Like slowly about to turn away, to like turn his life around. He's like right there, but one of them says some dumb shit. He's like, "Hey, just free love, man. Have sex with anyone you want." He's like, "Sex."
And then at the very end, he turns, makes eye contact with the camera, winks.
The doobie smokes all around him. And dead bodies.
Yes.
You
know what? That would have been better than the final chapter.
Oh my god. But then it would have been so finally, you know? Yeah, because he went back to killing.
All right.
We got to see him go through his whole metamorphosis here.
Must we?
No. We don't, but they made it happen anyways. Who made it happen, Alex?
In case you couldn't tell, we're going to have some fun with this.
Oh, absolutely. Happy Friday the 13th, everybody.
Yeah.
It's this week.
Yes, very excited. Assuming the world hasn't completely burnt down. You know what? Hopefully I'll be getting a tattoo. I don't know if I will, because I'm supposed to be finishing Matthew. But if I do, I'll let you know.
All right, cool.
It is my tradition.
It will be on the gram.
But this was directed by Joseph Zito. It was produced by Frank Mancuso Jr. And the screenplay was by Barney Cohen.
That sounds like Hollywood people.
That's Hollywood, baby.
That's Hollywood motherfuckers right there.
Starring Kimberly Beck, Peter Barton, Corey Feldman, E. Eric Anderson.
Not a movie star name at all.
And, of course, how could we forget Crispin Glover?
Which is also not a movie star name, but this man is a fucking movie star. I love him.
You do?
I do. I love Crispin Glover.
Of course, you would.
He's a weirdo.
He's a fucking weirdo. Okay, so, box office, of course. The budget for this movie is $2.2 million, and it was released on April 13th, 1984. Was that a Friday the 13th?
It's always a Friday, yeah. That's how they do these movies.
Hate it. Anyway, and it made $33 million in the box office.
That is a sweet return. And you know that Mancuso boy.
He was just like, money, money, money.
Oh, we'll get into his intentions right here, right now, because we're going to tell you
tell us about this movie.
I'm not
going to
call it a film. It's a movie.
It's a movie.
Yeah, it's, grab your popcorn and bring a date and don't pay attention for half of it.
Make out for half of it.
Like, oh, yeah, when the teenagers are making out, that's when you make out. And then when you hear the noise come tell you that there's killing happening,
yeah, when you
look up.
So when they make out, you make out. When you hear the screaming, then you look at the television.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty much all you need.
That's it. That's 100%. Well, you don't need 3D glasses for this one, like the last one. So there you go. There you go. Anyways, we're doing it. So, Jason Voorhees was a fucking embarrassment. At least as far as Paramount and producer Frank Mancuso Jr. were concerned. Because, I mean, sure, Friday the 13th films made a lot of money for all parties involved. They were balling. But they severely underperformed in the other currency that runs the movie industry. What is that, Alex? What is that other currency?
I think... Oh, shit.
Besides money.
Besides money?
Yeah. What's the other currency?
I was going to say something very fucked up.
What is it? What is it?
I was going to say something very fucked up.
Give it to us.
I was going to say children.
Oh, yeah. No, but like, yeah. Exactly. So what's the third currency? Allegedly.
I'm sorry.
That's the alleged second one, but let's just, you know, let's just say, yeah, what's the other currency?
Oh, gosh. Respect, I guess.
Yeah. Respect, I guess, is exactly it. So, Mancuso Jr. knew that once you make money doing one major thing in Hollywood, you become known for that fucking thing.
You become typecast? Say it ain't so.
Even as a producer.
Yeah, I know.
You're type moneymaker. Yeah. Whatever that thing is, type hired. And his thing, of course, was a mass killer with a bloodthirst for teenagers and a seemingly in a very dying genre at this time, actually. So, yeah,
84
or 83 when it was getting made, but people were like not having it. They were like, no. I'm done with these teenagers dying and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I'm done with this.
I am bored. Because slasher oversaturation had, of course, taken hold of good old United States of America.
Of course.
Yes, good old Reagan America. And rather than face the horror of diminishing returns, the team decided to, you know, do the honorable thing and definitively end the franchise. And this time they meant it.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't.
They mentioned as far as this in the production. They're definitely going to go back on this stuff.
Oh, but it made $33 million?
Yeah, right? They're like, no, we're getting no respect.
God damn it.
But they meant it, of course, so hard that they even slapped the words, the final chapter, onto this prestigious title.
Oh, yeah. So everyone knew it was the final chapter.
Yep, it still is. Still the final one. They just stopped calling them chapters. That's it. So, vowing to kill off Jason and move on to, of course, more prestigious projects to earn a little bit of that respect that Spielberg was actually hogging at the time.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder why.
Because at this John point, Williams and E.T.
Well, I know, at this point, it's like, it's 84. So, at this point, like, he's worked on, like, some of the highlights of his career.
And some of the highest-grossing films ever made.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Something About a Mr. Jones. And The Alien That Needs to Go Home.
Yeah.
And in a year after this, Someone That Needs to Go Back to the Present. How does that work? I don't know. But
also featuring a Crispin Glover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. It does. Jesus. Oh, boy. So.
How pissed must this guy have been? He's just like, Steven Spielberg stealing the spotlight. He stole Crispin Glover.
Mm-hmm. Can't even come back from that. Oh, no. We'll get to that in the next movie. So, Jason was so despised that the original series makeup artist Tom Savini returned. He fucking returned to the franchise with the specific agenda of killing off his creation. He really wanted this shit to end. So he's like, I'm going to come back and we're going to kill him good.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, people fucking hated this shit, even though they made a lot of money.
I mean, yeah, but at this point, it's like, it's the fourth movie. Tom Savini was so over it, he was like, I must kill what I created.
Yes, right? He's like, done with the slasher shit. So, with the best special effects in town, a studio and producer willing to give their icon a proper send-off, and a plethora of 80s actors just waiting to spill blood on screen, it was time for the final chapter to conclude. Now all they needed was a director, and oh, did they find one, and he was pretty goddamn lazy. Alex, how lazy was he? How lazy was this man?
Okay, so
Joseph Zito earned his horror cred by directing the special effects heavy slasher The Prowler in 1981.
Never seen it.
Nope. This film is filled with gore, of course, courtesy of Tom Savini, but didn't exactly excel in the whole story department.
No, not like the other prestigious slashers. Oh, no. Had great stories.
All of them. Had fantastic solid stories. Yeah. Great plot lines.
Mm-hmm. Academy doesn't know what they're fucking talking about. Respect currency.
Respect. Anyway, so this didn't seem to deter the producers as they wanted Zito to both write and direct their send-off to Mr. Voorhees.
Wow.
They gave him the keys to the fucking kingdom. Mm,
they did. No, they're like, dude, carte blanche, just fucking just do whatever you want. End this bitch.
End it. So Zito was initially reluctant, professing that he was absolutely not a writer, and it shows, but quickly changed his tune when he heard that he would be paid double for writing and directing.
Oh my God. Not gonna lie, sometimes I have taken on more projects where I'm just like, I'm getting a bonus here? Okay.
Well, you know, for the first time in my adult life, someone offered me a side project this week, and I was like, can't do it. I will literally end my shit if I have one more thing on my plate right now.
That's a good point,
yeah. Money notwithstanding. So, after several rapid blinks, the dollar signs disappeared from his pupils, and he quickly devised a scheme to have all the credit and slightly less of the money that would come from doing actual writing.
Right? Only a little bit less of the money, but still more than the regular money.
What a little scumbag. Anyway, so Zito hired Barney Cohen to write the final chapter in secret with a small salary to compensate. Zito would call Cohen for an hour each night to discuss the story, and then bam, pages.
What? An hour?
An hour.
Okay.
I've had meetings about so much less consequential shit go on longer than an hour.
This, I feel like, based off the final result of this movie, they definitely were not spending an hour. He was just bitching for 45 minutes. Oh, by the way, Jason should be like, dude, are you okay?
It was like a therapist.
therapist.
Only issue with this process, the only issue, is Hollywood is a union town. I don't know if you're familiar.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Kneecap in Uniontown. Oh, yeah.
And at some point, the duo, they were snitched on.
Oh, boy. Who got wind? His wife was that was mad. He's like, you spent all your goddamn time on this final chapter movie talking to Zito. You're talking to some whore, aren't you?
Who is she?
I'm going to tell the Writers Guild of America on you. You'll never work in this town again. Baby, you gotta afford the jacuzzi. You wanna go in the jacuzzi? I'm not talking to anybody.
She's nothing to me. God damn it.
God damn it.
So.
It's the 1930s process in 1983.
I mean, in my head, they have old-timey 1930s.
They do. They
accents.
Totally do. Baby, you got it all wrong.
I'm an honest man,
you see?
I just want to give you a better life. Okay, so the Writers Guild of America, they got wind of their scheme, and they didn't like it.
No.
Ooh, shocker. Zito describes this situation as, quote, a giant disaster.
Oh, yeah. And that was it. He's like, I can't legally talk about more of this.
Yeah, right.
It's just bad.
So, with the schemes seemingly out of the way, the script was eventually completed and a new crop of teenagers were needed for a good old Tom Savini gutting.
Ooh, that's a good gutting.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of them, as we previously mentioned, happened to be Crispin Glover.
Yay! Who gets a good gutting in this one. Oh, yeah. Or a facing. I don't know.
A facing. That just sounds sexual.
That does sound a little weird. Yeah, I don't know. But we're keeping it in. Fuck it. So, Camilla Moore, her name is actually spelled just Moore instead of the two O's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Camilla Moore came in to audition for the role of Samantha, but the producers noticed she looked a little familiar. Moore admitted that her and her twin sister were, in fact, the Double Mint Twins.
Oh, jeez.
At least for a time. Seeing an opportunity, the producers created the characters of Tina and Terry. This was agreed upon as soon as the producers learned that the twins did not mind going topless because it's the 1980s. And, Double Mint Twins.
That's what going topless.
That's what we got.
This movie is so... there's many words.
Yeah, yeah.
Classy is not one of them.
No. Not with this amount of boobies.
So many.
Of course, Crispin Glover was 19 at...
Jesus Christ. Yeah. He was 19 years old.
He
looked
Crispin
like he was 47.
He to this day, probably still looks like he's 47. He just has that timeless look to him. It's his face structure. I don't know what it is.
He has a very angular face.
He does. Yeah.
And, like, if someone had been like, how old is this gentleman in that movie, and I would have been, like, late
20s. Yeah. I think he also looks pretty like Jack Skellington sometimes, too. So, like, the level of, like, the deepness in his goddamn cheeks, just, that's a 40-year-old man's, like
so
face structure.
Okay, so this was definitely before Back to the Future, right?
Yeah, it was right before. Okay. Like, right before.
Because this is the same character.
It is. It's totally George McFly.
It is.
It's 100% George McFly.
This is George McFly, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So he was also, though, based on reports, exactly as weird as he comes off in the film. He was 100% that character behind the scenes, even opting to forego rehearsals, of course, when it was raining because he was in a rain mood.
What a fucking nerd.
Yeah, he was in a bad mood, Alex. He can't.
I mean, I get it. Yeah. Like, I fucking get it. When it rains, I'm in a shitty mood,
it's
too.
Like production is shut
That's
down.
That's why I live in California.
Oh, I know. Isn't it wonderful? Anyways.
Okay, like, real quick. So he just, can he act or does he just play as himself as the same character? Because if that's how he is in real life, and he's this character in this movie, and he's the same character as George McFly.
Mm-hmm.
Is he just the same amalgamation of himself as different characters?
I will answer you. I will ask you a question in return to answer that. How many other people can pull off a Crispin Glover performance? Sometimes you need it.
Okay.
Sometimes you need it. And this movie apparently needed it.
Counterpoint. I accept it. Let's move on. I can talk about this forever.
Well, we will. We are totally going to talk about this in like 30 minutes. But the team also decided that dead teenagers weren't enough for the film. As it had been done, well, of course, to death by this point, Alex. It had been done to death.
To death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was enough dead teenagers.
Yeah, exactly. It had been happening for too many movies.
Do you know what I mean? Okay, have you seen that, like, little infographic that has, like, the body count for the classic horror franchises? Like, it has, like, the body count for Halloween, the body count for Nightmare on Elm Street. Friday the 13th has the most impressive body count in comparison.
I would 100% back that. I mean, there are kills, like, within seconds of each other.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. This is...
Well, it's also because, like, they love getting, like, herds of teenagers.
Yeah.
Just, like, murking them.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't even the most. No. There's more after the next few installments.
Let us remember the wheelchair death from the previous film, where they just, like, kicked a poor gentleman down.
Oh, that was a number two.
That was two. You're right.
Yes.
You know what? I got them mixed together because of that wonderful montage in the beginning.
Yeah.
It was just like, hey, here's your refresher. Here's your crash course on Friday the 13th, part 1 through 3.
You know what, though?
It's a
pretty badass
it.
Montage.
I needed it.
I really liked, like, the storytelling behind it and then the music. I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, fuck. I haven't seen a movie Friday since we did the last one.
Yeah, last
so
year.
I'm like, ooh, okay. Give me the... No, it was earlier this year.
It feels like it's been a year.
It was right before COVID.
Right.
It was right before the shutdowns.
Right before.
So it was a lifetime ago.
Because it was in March.
Yes. But we do it early.
No, it... Yes, but it was right before because 2 weeks later I had a COVID scare.
Yep, exactly. Oh, and that just seems like a fucking lifetime ago.
Oh.
Jesus. Oof. Anyways, so of course, to get around this whole tired... just teenagers trope, they decided to just add a family. And with that came the Jarvis family, which of course be a big staple of the franchise. And they, of course, they wanted a character that the audience would actually care about and found one in Tommy Jarvis, played by a 12-year-old Corey Feldman.
He's so tiny in this.
He is. And you know what? He was actually running this and the Goonies at the same time.
Jeez, really?
Yeah, because he wanted to be in a Friday the 13th movie. He saw it on cable. Like, he got, like...
Adorable.
Right?
First of all. Second of all, so he's 12 at this point. Is he on drugs yet?
I think maybe they're on the cusp of drugs.
Because, like, if he's doing the Goonies and this movie at the same time, and you're 12 years old...
I think drugs are coming up, like 14.
Yeah, I was just like, because I'm like, you're 12, you don't need to be on drugs yet. But I know he started doing drugs at a very young age.
That's true. I think he was maybe a couple years 13, away from drugs. Yeah, 14? 13, 14. Yeah, right when, like, you get the money from the Goonies and Friday the 13th.
When you get Goonies money.
When you get Goonies money and you get Slasher money. That's when you get, you know, and you're the only character that stands out, besides Crispin Glover.
It's true.
Who got Back to the Future it's money true. After this. Huh?
Point taken.
Yeah, sorry these fucking, sorry everyone else.
It's true. If anyone, if you were to ask me, it would be like, actually no, there's a decently memorable cast of characters. I remember, I remember the twins, I remember the weird stoner guy.
Yeah, and then
and Crispin Glover and Corey Feldman.
It's Crispin Glover's friend, the weird stoner guy.
Yeah, right? The one who's like perpetually horny for the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
The entire movie.
What's his fucking name?
I don't know. Teddy.
Yes.
Because he was just like,
Ted, get the corkscrew. Where's the corkscrew? Yes. That's the iconic line.
Ted, get the corkscrew. Oh, this movie's fucking stupid.
And then death. Yes. Yep. But of course, Feldman's character would eventually become, like we just said, a huge staple in the franchise. And actually, he was written as a tribute to special effects boy, Tom Savini.
What do you mean?
Because the kid loves special effects and making his own shit, and his name is Tommy Jarvis.
Oh.
Yeah, he is a tribute to Tom Savini, of course.
That's cute.
Right? And finally, of course, leading boy Peter Barton signed on to star in the film, but not without some prodding. He actually initially wanted no part in horror films thanks to a very bad experience on the set of 1981's Hell Night, which I'd never heard of. But this changed when his show, The Powers of Matthew Starr, was canceled. He was Matthew Starr.
Not The Powers of Matthew Starr.
No, The Powers of Matthew Starr, starring, what's his fucking name again? Peter Barton. that thing tanked. And of course, given the title of, this is the 22nd worst show of all time, according to TV Guide.
Mm.
22nd. Yeah, the cancellation was inevitable, of course. But its brief existence did allow Peter to work with Friday the 13th alumni, Amy Steele, who encouraged Barton to sign on for the sake of notoriety and a paycheck. And of course, sign on he did. Yeah. Of course, I think Amy Steele also got stalked from this, so.
Yeah, wasn't she one of the characters who was just like, oh no, my life was ruined?
Yeah, she's one of the people that, like, Hollywood kind of fucked her up after this. Yeah. But this was like, she still had hope in 1983. Yeah? So hope didn't die yet. I think it was a couple years afterwards.
Good.
Yeah. And I still forgot the guy's name, even though it's right here. So poor Peter. Anyways, so now that these dead fucks were cast, how did they get murked on screen and who legitimately got hurt?
Of course.
It's Friday the 13th. You know people are going to get hurt in the face often.
Yeah.
So how'd that happen?
Honestly, I love these titles. This one in particular did make me laugh out loud.
Because, again, the users don't get the titles that we make for each other.
No.
What is it, Alex?
Rush Job. Thy Name is Voorhees.
That's going to tell... Yes, that tells you exactly what we're getting into right now.
Which is beautiful. It really did. Like, I was skimming before you got here, and I was just like, that is funny. And I did laugh out loud.
Thank you.
So, the final chapter was originally slated for an October 1984 release, but producer Mancuso, motherfucker, he wanted to get this shit over with. And he moved the release date up to April of 1984, which he obviously got his way.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave the cast and crew a much shorter timeline to actually get Jason onto the big screen.
Oh boy.
Stupid.
That's a lot of months from October.
Yeah. April to October, that's like basically when lockdown started to now.
Oh my, yeah. Like, we have all this time to get this movie the best it can be. It's like, actually, we're going to cut down like 7 months. What the
fuck? So, first and foremost, it got sloppy. Like, obviously.
Yeah. No, it got pretty sloppy. Yeah, clearly.
So, first and foremost, everyone pretty much hated the director, Joseph Zito.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Someone who's like basically going to someone in the shadows of night and is like, hey, what should I put in my script?
Yeah. He's a little seedy? Oh, I would not have guessed.
What? Especially Ted White, who is this film's Jason Voorhees.
Oh, Ted White fucking hated this motherfucker. They did not get along.
So, because of the low budget, a lot of actors actually had to do their own stunts. These were not often easy feats, as actors were routinely required to have their body slammed around by the 6'4" Ted White.
And he did not, he's a stunt guy. He does not like doing this to, like, regular actors.
No, he does it to people who know how to take a hit.
Exactly. He's just like, I'm really sorry about this. I'm going to hit you, like, right against the window.
And it's, yeah, it's going to look realistic because it is going to be realistic.
Don't let your head hit first. Like, don't let my what?
So, because of his experience as a stuntman, White knew which scenes were too much for the actors and would stand up to Joseph Zito and demand things like crash pads and giving actors breaks from being, you know, things like submerged in cold lake water, for example.
Mm-hmm. Look at him, like, fighting for people's rights.
Good! Yeah. So, White went as far as threatening to quit if Zito didn't give in to some of his demands for the actor's safety. Though this didn't stop actress Judy Aronson from getting hypothermia from spending so much time in said freezing lake.
She was naked in a lake. Yeah. For hours. And he's just like, this is too much.
I don't even like being naked in Southern California at nighttime.
No, I agree.
It's cold. So, according to White, Corey Feldman also visibly hated working with Zito and would constantly act bratty when dealing with the director, going so far as to calling him the meanest goddamn little kid he'd ever worked with.
Yeah.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. So this rage actually accumulated when Feldman had to act out killing Jason by striking two sandbags with a machete. Apparently, Feldman pretended that the sandbags were actually Joseph Zito.
That's cute.
Which
you can see the rage.
The rage is there.
Yeah. He did a really good job in that scene.
It scared me.
It did, right? And I'm just like, he thought it was his boss.
Which is a rage we can all, maybe, allegedly relate to.
At some point, at least. Yeah, 100%.
Moving on. White managed to get some revenge on Feldman as well by scaring the crap out of him during the window jump scare. He's 12 years old. What do you mean? He has a fucking rivalry with a 12-year-old? What kind of Home Alone bullshit is this?
I think one day he was just being that much of an asshole. He's like, I'm going to scare this little motherfucker. I'm going to scare him straight.
You're an adult. Act like it, bro. Anyway.
Yeah, like how he defends the whole cast and like goes for the whole, like, no, this is actually not right. People should not be going through this. It's like, but you, Corey Feldman, you're a little asshole.
You're a little shit. Which I can get. If you're working on the Goonies and here at the same time and you're 12 years old.
He's probably frustrated. He's up to here.
He's a grouchy little kid.
Exactly. He's like, where is this going to work out? Oh, they both worked out. Cool. What is weed?
What? I'm curious. So, White and Feldman timed this window jump scare sequence precisely, but during one take, White waited just long enough for Feldman to think the stunt went wrong and then pounced on him, legitimately scaring him. And this is the take that they used in the film.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, if it gets the scares, right?
It looked convincing, so yeah, I dig it.
The rest of the staff seemed to be pretty much okay with the young star. Kimberly Beck even took the 12-year-old Feldman trick-or-treating on Halloween during the 6-week production.
Because he was 12. Because he could still do it. He could still get candy instead of the nose candy. It was just the regular candy.
It was just the regular candy.
Yeah, candy corn and shit. Yeah.
Ew. That was the candy you...
Oh, I hate candy corn. But it's the 80s. I don't think they have good candy yet.
Or they have, like, super, like, cracked out candy.
I wonder, though, do they have Sour Punch? Because that's the good candy.
What is wrong with you?
I love sour candy.
I know. Anyway. Weirdo. Halloween's over. Act like it.
But, okay. Damn it.
Gotcha.
Leftover candy.
So it wasn't all that fun for Kimberly Beck, though, as she would receive strange phone calls at night throughout the production and was even stalked when running in the park.
Because it wouldn't be a Friday the 13th production without someone stalking the final girl.
Jesus Christ.
God, I hate people.
Yeah.
So, early incels. Totally.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about this earlier. Let's go back to our dear friend Crispin Glover, shall we?
Let's do it.
So let's talk about that really funny dance Like, dorky as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, embarrassingly so. Like, I just want to take him away from this place and just be like...
But I was looking at the screen. He captured the screen.
Mm-hmm. So that weird dance came about because they actually had him act out the scene, like dancing to AC/DC's Back in Black.
A very different song.
Yes, and they replaced the audio in post-production with Lion's Love is a Lie. So we're not sure if this is before or after Glover and his traditionally weird actor fashion forced a shutdown of the set until his toy yellow submarine could be retrieved from the fucking lake.
Yeah, I can't tell you the timeline on this one, but both instances happened and it was fucking weird.
What a charmer.
Oh boy, he's just like, come on, just everybody do the pull, push in, and then we'll create a current and the submarine will be right in my hands.
No, that is, but first of all, that
sounds like a thing he'd do.
It does sound like a thing he'd do, but it's not as like manic as like how he speaks.
Oh,
it's
I can't emulate that.
You cannot emulate. No, but there's that's
no
fine.
Way. There's no way.
It's very hard to emulate. Even
need
in
a lot
brain.
Of coffee.
A lot of coffee.
Yeah.
Maybe some cocaine.
A little bit of cocaine. Oh my gosh. So, but with that, of course, production had concluded, and this was in January of 1984, and the team. They only had 6 weeks to do all the post-production in order to meet their new, brand new April release date. So this resulted in one of the few times that Paramount actually helped out with the Friday the 13th production.
Do your jobs, Paramount.
No, they just paid like, hey, we're going to put it out there. Like every time they're like, you fuckers handle it. But now they're like, fucking April, let's just do it. Yeah. So the studio rented out a house in Malibu so Zito and his team could edit 24/7, going as far as to have food delivered daily. With this kind of support, the team managed to crank out the fourth Friday film and still have scenes left over to be reinserted for future television showings. Yeah. They were still a little lazy. So things were looking up too, as there aren't even reports of the MPAA being a bitch this time.
Shocker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, honestly... This film isn't... This movie...
It's pretty bloodless.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not very bloody.
No, I mean...
Like, there's a lot of death, but, like, it does a very interesting, like, cut.
Yeah. Like, they do have, like, pretty bloody moments, but there's, like, under a handful. Like, there's really not that
many. Yeah. In comparison to how many deaths there are in this movie?
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. People are killed off screen in this one a few times.
Well, like, for example, like, Lumberjack Guy is just like, mm-hmm. and, like, you don't really see him die. He just kind of...
Doublemint Twin? Her shadow gets stabbed.
Oh,
not
yeah.
her. Yeah. So, see?
Doublemint Twin.
But, I mean, also, at the time, there were so many slashers that the standards had shifted. It shifted enough to allow the few bloody scenes to be really bloody. So.
I didn't look at any of this before I watched the movie, and I'm glad because as I was watching it, the only thing I wasn't talking shit on was the special effects, and I'm glad I didn't because then I was... Because, like, they were... the movie, like...
Exactly. Compared to the last one, Jesus.
Yeah.
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 Pretty big step up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, this did not have a... I feel like the critics didn't quite appreciate it as much.
What?
No. Because Gene Siskel and our boy, Roger Ebert, were very much outraged by this and absolutely tore into the movie on their show at the movies. Ebert called it, quote, an immoral and reprehensible piece of trash, end quote, right there. He hated this shit.
I wonder why. Well, he's also dead teenager movies.
Exactly. I like how in the 90s he learned to appreciate him a little bit more, but in the 80s he was staunchly like, this is
stupid.
He
likes Scream, right?
Yeah. I think he likes Subversion.
Yeah, exactly.
Subversion was not the name of the game in the 80s.
In this movie in particular, it is like we're going to be on the nose as the nose can get.
Exactly, but there is some subversion in this franchise. We're probably not going to see that for a couple years.
Ugh.
Yeah, we're gonna have to wait for the good one.
It's gonna take us a while.
Mm-hmm. It's number six. anyways, so of course, many fellow critics echoed this same sentiment. Like, reviews were bad. They were bad.
Yeah.
But audiences did not give a shit.
Oh, no.
No. No, because the final chapter, it actually opened at number one with $11 million at the good old North American box office on April 13th of 1984, which, of course, was a Friday. This was one of the highest opening weekends of the year, and a monster one for the quote-unquote dying genre of the slasher.
Dying.
It's dying. Oh my god, it's fucking... Oh, the, one of the best of the whole fucking year, Jesus. Yeah, and it's the same year as... Dying. Yeah, yeah.
It's dead.
It's dead. Gone. It's done, dude. $11 million.
We actually... This is the last episode of the podcast ever.
It's the last horror movie that ever happened.
Ever.
That ever happened.
No other horror movie was made 1984. After. None of them.
No. But it ultimately went on to gross $33 million. One of the best returns actually in the entire series.
And, on this piece of shit?
Yes. And the final chapter ended up being a pretty bullshit title. Because despite lacking in the respect department, Frank Mancuso Jr. and Paramount were doing really well in the money department. They were doing so good that the respect department meant jack shit at this point. Yeah. No numbers on the little kid department. But... I respect mean, and money, they were up
fine.
There.
That's fine. That's fine. I'd rather the alleged children department, I'd rather not know.
No, I agree. I agree. Especially the 80s, no accountability. Anyways, so when Wes Craven's A Nightmare on Elm Street hit, the slasher genre was officially as resurrected as Jason Voorhees' corpse in a lightning storm. Yeah.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
It's about that level of resurrection. It was the lightning of money. Digging further into this. So.
Jump out of this hole while you can.
Friday the 13th, part 4, ended up being a hit in the 80s and a fan favorite of the often maligned series. Now, how about some Letterboxd reviews to solidify this fan...
Oh, please.
Yeah, yeah,
take
yeah.
us through it.
How the fans view it. So...
The fans.
Friday the 13th, the final chapter, has a 3.2 rating out of 4.8K reviews.
That's it?
Yeah, I feel like these movies don't have a lot of, like, reviews on Letterboxd.
Well, that's because everyone on Letterboxd is reviewing, like, Hereditary and, like...
Oh, yeah. They're getting real niche. This
a
is,
portrait
I think, a little...
of a girl on fire mm-hmm. and, like, niche shit.
Oh, yeah, of course. And the arrogant sisterhood of the traveling pants. Very niche movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're going to hold on to that one.
That's going to be a great one. So, let's just see what they have to say. So, Andrew Jupin of We Hate Movies Podcast.
Love you guys.
Fucking best. One of my favorites.
Yes.
He has a Letterboxd account.
I didn't know that.
Right? Gives it a 3.5-star review saying, totally holds up. Gotta feel sorry for sad stoner guy who gets murdered while watching silent era pornography, though.
I don't feel bad for him. He annoyed the shit out of me the entire movie.
He was a little rapey.
He's
a little rapey.
Like, I'm just like, she does not want to kiss you, bro. Just take
don't
it.
Don't be holding her head, dude. Nah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, just like.
It's the weed.
No, it's not the weed. I have partaken quite a bit, and I've never, ever.
And he just has that, like, that kissy face that looks, like, predatory. Like, he just.
No.
He's, like, doofusy.
He has the doofus rapey eyes where it's just like he's the,
I don't know any better. I'm just a man.
Yeah, he's yeah. like just like I told you, perpetually horny mm-hmm. the entire movie.
Oh god, I hate him.
Yeah.
Fucking hate him. Oh, there's my claw. Okay. So Burroughs, he actually gives it 2 stars, saying, quote, "There's a bizarre amount of love for this one. Honestly, it's a pretty lame entry," end quote.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Okay.
So, Men on Film gives it 5 stars, the exact opposite of Burroughs, stating, "Thick twins and thicker atmosphere. The best of the Friday films, even the Ice Cube ones." Fuck you, Men on Film. You ain't shit. Crispin Glover is some stupid alien disguised as a human, and there's a Corey and the absolute best Jason in the franchise.
That is some bold statement.
That's his 5-star review. Sorry, dude, though. I would say all the Fridays except that Christmas one trounces bad boy. This is not a Friday podcast.
As someone who I think has seen snippets of a couple, I haven't seen a single one beginning to end. I have no idea.
I have seen these since, like, yeah. You know, my family's pretty hood. My family's hood as hell.
Yeah.
We watch this. I've known Friday since, like, I had memories.
I understand. I also understand you quote it regularly with James.
That's true.
And I'm just like...
See the opening of our 100th episode of Rumor.
Where I'm just like, cool. I'm just here.
Yes, Debo's a great character. So, and, of course, finally, Ryan Francis, he gives this one a 3.5-star review, stating, quote, fourth film in the series is still fun, but I may be growing a bit weary of it all. Good thing this is the final chapter. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. Quote. There's more.
Oh, fucking guy. So on that note, of course, it would be long before another entry in this franchise would hit theaters, but it's going to be a while before we take a stab at it. Yeah, it's going
to
be a little bit.
I'm going to murder you with a machete.
It's become a mission or to a put as many puns as I can into this.
Is it because you enjoy filling me with rage?
I enjoy when they're like notably bad.
Yeah. You enjoy your horrible puns.
I'm like, this one's kind of okay, but what if I make it a little worse? Like a little bit. Like just this side of worse.
Yeah. Just this side of it. Terrible yeah, pun, so you can sit here with your little shit-eating grin and I have to sit in here and listen to it.
But they can't see the grin, so you have to let them know the level.
He's very proud of himself and I'm going to kick him.
On the next Friday the 13th, sometime in 2021, we'll be looking at a porn director's take on this titular Jason.
God damn it!
Without Jason. It doesn't have Jason in it. It's a divisive one.
Wait, there's no Jason?
It's not like, the next one.
This is like the season of the witch?
Not really. It's dumb how they do it. Just trust me on this.
Okay, I've never seen it.
We're not gonna find out till late next year.
When's the next Friday the 13th?
It's like in next December or some shit. Like
2022 or 2021?
Yeah, so it's gonna be a little bit. But we'll talk about it, of course, when we cover the Friday the 13th Part 5. A new beginning. Now about this bitch. How is the final chapter, though? This is, remember, the last horror movie.
Yes.
What did you think? What did you think of the last horror movie ever? What did you think?
The final chapter.
Yeah.
I know.
What the fuck is that?
My fridge.
Oh, I thought
there's
it
someone
was,
living in my
I thought
fridge.
It was your poltergeist again.
Yeah, it's the poltergeist who lives in my fridge.
Yeah. Oh, just the first. There's two. I thought it was the regular apartment poltergeist.
No, I put away that poltergeist.
Ah, okay. I gotcha.
I closed the windows.
But a new one came in the fridge because you have the fridge open when you close the window. I get how... I know the system.
Lots of moving parts. Yeah. So, for this movie, I wanted to like it. Parts of it are just very stupid. And it's very... Like, it's hard. Like, for a movie that is strictly 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is a very short movie. It was hard for me to pay attention.
It feels kind of long.
It feels long. And considering that I watched a 2-hour movie with zero difficulty last night, like, I'm just like, do better. But,
do better, 1984. Jesus.
Do better. I wanted more than I got. But that being said, it was still pretty fun in the traditional, like, dead teenager movie genre.
Yeah. I think given the context of, like, what it is.
It's a fantastic get high makeout and make out movie.
Yes. Oh, that's actually a really good idea. It is. It is. I've actually done that at least once to this movie.
I mean, I'll put it in my back pocket for later. But, I mean, sounds like fun.
I mean, to me, it's like there's elements of a better movie than what the actual movie is. You get a good Corey Feldman, you get a good Crispin Glover, you get some pretty intense kills at the end.
You get some good special effects.
You got a good Jason. And
somehow you get all these good parts and then...
But you get like 45 minutes of just teens bullshitting for like too much.
Yeah,
it's just a little too much.
It's a mediocre movie.
Yeah. And then like also, I feel like it started off as being like just another Friday the 13th Part 3, which is kind of cheap and like whatever. And then it turned into a better movie in the last half hour. And it wasn't like not good enough though to kind of overcome that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I should have listened to a Friday the 13th Part 3 episode to remember what my opinions were. Because I remember so little. I don't remember what March was even like, I'll be perfectly honest.
I can't.
All I remember from March is your birthday and that being the last normal event.
And LA was shutting down that day.
Yeah, because we had to go to your apartment because the comedy show got canceled that we were going to go to.
I know. At least I've seen Bill Burr once.
I know,
we're gonna see Bill Burr. Fuck. Anyways, yeah. Fucking A. Yeah,
sorry. But no, and then, you know, then that was like the last normal event. Mm-hmm. So my memory for March of 2020 is very, me.
It's just weird because it does feel like a lifetime ago.
Yes, a lot has happened since March of 2020.
And this is after the elections. Who the fuck knows how everything that's going to be, you know?
Everything is going to be on fire. I hope everyone's staying safe wherever you are, especially if you're in, I don't know, larger cities like Los Angeles, where we're at.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, please be safe, everybody. Unlike these damn dead these teenagers were not safe.
No.
In any sense of the word. They were the
This was such a fun example of, like, sex equals death, though.
Oh, 100%.
Like, literally, so good. But, your thoughts.
I mean, it's fine. Like, I don't hate it.
It's true. Like, it's fun to talk shit on, but honestly, like, it's not like Halloween 5 where I'm, where I'm, like, incensed by how bad it is. Like, it's just fun. It's, I mean, I will say, in the defense of, like, all the shit talking we did in the beginning of this movie, this is, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun, but it's, like, don't take it too seriously. I love the Friday the 13th franchise. Like, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Out of all, like, the classic horror franchises, out of Halloween, you know, all that, this is my favorite. Like, the Friday the 13th franchise, it's, like, the whole lore
and everything.
It's, like,
cheesy, crazy goodness.
It's cheesy. It's like I said, it's like a cheap burger from, like, a bar. Like,
or with how often an actual Friday the 13th comes on, it's a McRib. Sometimes you want a McRib just to know, I can get a McRib and it's not that bad. Or sometimes a McRib sucks. And that's totally fine.
That's fine.
And blame it on the McDonald's or the time you went.
The time you went or how busy it was. Like, it's cool. It's still a McRib. Like, for the most part, like, the flavors are still mostly there.
Yeah, exactly.
You're probably plastered when you drink it or eat it anyway.
No, you drink a McRib. Put that shit to mush and right there.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, that's like, practically. That's the
barbecue and bread with one pickle.
I've never had a McRib. That's disgusting. No.
There's onions, too.
From my understanding, they are practically liquid because it's, like, so soft, like the
very soft meat. Yes,
it's disgusting. Like, it's fucking gross.
You can, like, eat a Filet-O-Fish. You're like, I like fish. Like, that's the same thing with a McRib and just
pork.
I've
never had a Filet-O-Fish. I've never had a McRib.
Oh my god. You're missing out on all the paste.
I love the nuggets. Those are paste.
Okay, that's true. Nuggets are the shit, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I want some fucking McDonald's nuggets. God damn.
There's one down the street.
I might do that. That is, ooh, that is a fantastic proposition. God damn. Oof.
There you go.
Look how excited I got for that one. But this is, I mean, to me, it's like, it's standard, but it has elements like Corey Feldman and Crispin Glover and a good Jason.
Like that, I said,
you can watch it and be okay.
Exactly. It'll scratch your Friday the 13th itch.
Absolutely. I mean, you might hate parts of it, though, because there's some parts that are totally like, we're wasting our time. Get to the Merkin.
Get to please. It. Yeah, because the whole, like, I want to say, like, the first half is just, like, set up.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for the opening, where it introduces the fact that, or not opening, but, like, that part in the frickin' morgue where, again, horny doctor.
Horny rapey doctor.
Horny rapey doctor.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, what is consent? You're leaving?
Consent is a consistent, enthusiastic yes, motherfuckers. Write that shit down. But no, that was all. I was just like, then
it had a little Halloween 2 vibes, though.
It did, because it was in a hospital.
Yeah.
It did have, and then apparently, I did see this in the trivia for the movie, when his hand moves.
Mm-hmm.
That was apparently a mistake, but they kept it in because it looks a little ooky spooky, and it did catch me off guard.
Right? The camera was still, like, they didn't hit cut yet.
No.
Yeah, so that I like that aspect. There still was, Zito's still kind of a filmmaker. Like, this does not look as bad as the last one. Like, I feel like 3, because they want
to
do 3D and all
this
shit. Excited to see
the pornographer's take.
It definitely looks worse than this.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm still excited.
Right? Oh, it's going to be very gratuitous. But I will say,
excellent. I love, honestly, with a franchise like this that's built on gratuity, I kind of think you have to lean into the campiness.
I mean, that's what part one was like.
Exactly.
That's what part one was
exactly.
like.
Exactly. Part one is such like this like quintessential like building block of like gratuity and camp, literally. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, in gore and just fucking like, oh,
they're like, so you good. Want formula? We're gonna formula the fuck out of this formula. Exactly. That's what they're at.
And that's what I love about the first one. And mm-hmm. this one is kind of just like, we're distinguished.
Yeah. Well, I feel like 2 was the one that tried to be like super good. And it was good. And it really made it kind of stand out from the rest of them. It's but then true. Like 3 and 4 are like the McDonald's part. Okay. This is a production assembly line. Okay, you're putting the mustard on and you're doing this and we have ourselves a movie.
You cannot dress up a McRib.
That's true.
You cannot take a McRib home, open it up, and add more shit to it to make it better. It is a fucking McRib.
But there's extra pickles with the Crispin Glover. And extra sauce with the Corey Feldman.
You said Crispin Glover, and I did imagine adding, like, crispy onions.
That would not be that bad. See, this is just like a good McRib. That's what it is. It's like, but it's still a McRib.
it's still a McRib. Like, you know.
Are we hungry? What's going on? I'm a little hungry.
I haven't eaten since lunch. I am actually quite hungry.
Oh my god. Let's just go on. Let's go on. This is a long going, and the longest we've done a food analogy for a long time. Oh boy.
Oh, that's the hardest I've laughed in a while.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's fucking funny. Okay.
I'm getting those nuggets.
You should. I encourage it. I support you.
Oh boy. So the final chapter is considered a favorite.
Yes.
Often ranking actually as number 1 or 2 on fan lists.
Fuck, really?
But why do you think this is?
I have no fucking clue.
I have a theory.
Okay, what's your theory? Because I honestly I couldn't tell you.
Because it's the same shit we're talking about. This is the quintessential version of the formula of Friday the 13th.
Okay, fair.
It is, and it has a decent enough cast to pull it off correctly and enough gore where it's not too much, but it's not too little.
It's like such like a satisfactory like. That's fine.
It's a Friday the 13th, it's like to the core.
Yeah,
where it
that's
is.
Fair.
Yeah.
To the lore, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it introduced Tommy Jarvis, too. Like, it's like, it. You know, I think it's a pretty foundational Friday the 13th, and it's also kind of
Oh my god,
like
is
the
he
apex.
In the next one?
He's in the next 3. 3 or 4, I can't
really?
Remember.
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my fucking god.
Oh yeah. It's not Feldman, though.
Oh, what? Mm-hmm.
Oh, you'll see.
All right.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Strap in, bitches.
This is like, I feel like this is when the lore, like, it gets its next shot in the arm. Because, you know, you're for the longest time, it's just like, Pamela Voorhees, again, and the kid saw her murder, he got a mask.
Need I remind you, most of my interest in the franchise is strictly resting in 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So, I have no idea. We could get to the end of this franchise, and I could be like...
Oh, you're going to be a pro by the end of this.
Right. Yeah. But I could get to the end of it and be like, maybe this isn't my favorite horror franchise. Right now, it is. We'll see.
Yeah. No, this is... I don't know. To me, it also has pretty good special effects. There's a lot of elements to it that I feel like I can see why people gravitate to it. I personally don't. I personally think... a couple of the later ones do it a little better.
Okay.
But they are also drastically different. But in terms of the pure Friday the 13th experience,
well,
this is kind of as cut and dry as you can get, but done not shittily.
Well, speaking of special effects, let's get into that.
Oh, yeah.
So, does Tom Savini's return have a noticeable impact on the special effects in this movie, in your opinion?
Yeah, that's a pretty big difference, actually.
It's one of the things, like, in comparison... Hold on, there's... Don't freak out. I need you not to freak out.
Mosquito?
Spider. You're good.
Cool.
There was a baby spider, like, right there. I killed it just for you.
Thank you.
Normally, I catch them and take them outside.
Oh. That little dead fuck. All right.
I didn't want you to see it and be like, ugh.
Not in my claw.
But no. Okay. Circling back. No, I think that, like I mentioned before, Tom Savini's, you know, kind of... impact on this movie is it really kind of distinguished the film in a way, because like we talked about this earlier, the acting, the special effects, like little bits and pieces come together to make a surprisingly okay film.
Yeah.
Tom Savini, I don't know how much effort he put into it, but mm-hmm. it's definitely like, you know, it's Tom fucking Savini.
They're definitely his effects.
Yes.
You're not looking at, like, a dummy. And, like, oh, look, its arms are barely moving. He's falling down a fucking hill.
See, that's the thing. Is, like, some of those, like, stabby effects, like, you see, or, like, throats getting slit, like, all that shit. I was just like, these are really good. Like,
they're textured.
Exactly. And I had that thought. And, again, I'm always a sucker for practical effects. Mm-hmm. By the way, I was on the Swatch of Horrors podcast.
Right.
And I spend about 20 minutes talking about how much I love practical effects and horror. So definitely check that out.
Shout out to Mimi.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you would like to go listen to just me talk, because Anthony couldn't join us, I talk about special effects forever and then talk about a horrible tattoo I got.
I have no tattoos. I have nothing to contribute, see?
Yeah. You know, you don't contribute to the beauty world of ever.
No, I don't. I just with my beautiful visage, you know?
I'm naturally this pretty motherfucker.
I can't corrupt this. As much as I want a teardrop tattoo on my face, as much as I demand that in my heart, can't do it. I can't mess with this.
You know what? You are too nerdy for that.
Which is why I'm doing a audio medium.
Yes.
Just can't let it, you know.
We can't.
I get you. No. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, check that out if you would like to listen to that. But I did actually really enjoy the special effects, and I definitely think it has a noticeable influence on the movie.
Yeah, I think so too.
Just because, like, I didn't hate the special effects as opposed to the third, which I actually do talk about in the Swatch of Horrors podcast. Yeah, the Swatch of Horrors, I talk about how bad the special effects are on part three.
This is a big step up, and not only that, There's not too many of them. Like, there's a lot of them towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And, like, what you get in between is, like, quick and whatever enough. It's just, like, it fits the film. It fits the film. Fits the movie really well.
Yeah. Again, that throat slitting action. Yeah. Real good.
And then Corey Feldman, of course, having his little monsters and little things around. He's a little Tom Savini.
Yes. Can we talk? Okay, so that was also really cool. I did have this very brief moment, and I will admit to this, where they show all his special effects.
Yeah.
And I was like, how are his special effects better than the actual special effects in this movie?
It's because they got close-up time, and they want to use an action.
Yeah. And they're like masks and shit.
Yeah, they're like, look at this creature.
That he worked on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's that. And then his like shaved head moment.
Oh, yeah. That was actually pretty creepy looking.
It was disturbing, but why did he do it?
Because everybody's got Jason's game down. Everybody knows how to take him out.
He's so shaving your head?
Just being little baby Jason. You're like, hey, I'm your subconscious.
Listen to me.
Listen. Don't kill her. Just go back to the lake and ka!
Yeah. How did he know?
I feel like that's why they include that long-ass like person talking in the campfire before. Because that's like the Crystal Lake legend by this point.
Right. But how did they know he was bald?
Oh, I don't fucking know. Why did they have newspaper clippings in later movies and shit.
I have a lot of questions. Like, that moment, that sequence in general confused the ever-living fuck out of me.
See, the audience knows. Doesn't matter if the characters know.
Shouldn't it?
I mean, realistically, yeah, but we're talking about a Friday the 13th movie.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. You know, this is how all these movies end. It's just like, here's this monster cliffhanger. Look, Mrs. Voorhees coming out of the lake. Oh, what's going to turn off him? Nothing. They don't care. And speaking of not caring, how would you rate this particular batch of teenage fodder? Because clearly, the producers don't care about them that much.
No. Yeah, you're going to do your own stunts.
Mm-hmm.
I actually liked most of them. Like, we kind of talked about this already.
Yeah.
Teddy's really rapey. I like the double mint twins.
I like them too.
There's a lot of titties in this movie. Like, far more than I was, like, expecting and or, like, borderline comfortable with. Well, which is saying a lot for
me. There was also a lot of, like, swapping. Like, they were just like, I actually like this guy. He's the best looking guy. And like, well, no, I want to get him. And like, they were dancing together and all that weird shit.
It was like, good at turn. I'm like, okay, if this was any other movie, this was going to turn into an
orgy. I'm like, is he that hot shit? I can't tell as a straight male sometimes, but I didn't know if he was like, that everybody wanted his dick.
None of them did.
But like, half the ladies were just like, is he looking at me right now? I'm going to meet me by the water.
Yeah, no, none of them. I was just like, Ew.
There's like the one real couple that like gets killed in the shower, and they're the only ones that don't swap. But everybody else is just like, we're just trying to fuck.
Yeah, everyone's like trying to like find a good couple to like match up with, mm-hmm. and it's just like, is this what dating was like in the 80s? Like,
Crispin Glover's trying to just satisfy his own ego because they called him a dead fuck.
Well, that and also like he's just like coming down off of a breakup, and like he's like this is like a rebound trip for him.
Oh yeah.
And so, like, the fact that he even fucks in this movie at all, I'm just like, huh.
And he's giving the thumbs up afterwards when he asks.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just like, was that okay? Or is she just like, that was fine? He's just like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna get me some wine and fucking die.
Well, yeah, that, and then also, like, he comes back downstairs and, like, nonchalantly, like, gives the pervert, like, this girl, this poor girl's underwear.
Yeah,
and I'm just like... And he's so nonchalant and just like, I'm hot shit now. And like, I was just like, who are you?
That does sound 80s, though. That sounds pretty 80s.
It's very 80s, but I was just like, ew. You're all disgusting. I'm glad you all die.
Right? I'm glad the rapey weirdo did not get any play this fucking movie.
No.
Like, he didn't even get
he deserved no pussy.
He deserved to be high and jerk off and, like, watch some silent porn that had no sound.
The 1920s pornography, I do have to say, was really cool.
Yeah, again, that's this movie, though. They give you some weird bullshit, but some elements that are like...
little tiny things. Yeah. Like, whose fucking idea was it to be like, okay, let's have him watching silent pornography?
It's pretty distinctive, which is weird because it's so standard otherwise. Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird movie. I can see why people like it because I feel like if you're drawn to that kind of weirdness, I would say there's enough, but there's... I guess there's enough. There's barely enough to kind of hold on to, I think. Yeah. But I don't know. Teenage Fodder, to me, they were pretty memorable overall. Like, I can kind of look back.
I can remember the twins, Teddy, and Crispin Glover. That is it. The established couple, I couldn't point them out of a lineup.
I probably couldn't do that either, but their deaths were pretty good. Like,
what? Yeah.
The shower dude's like, oh, drop the soap, and then get taken out.
Honestly, I think most Friday the 13th have shower deaths at this point.
They do.
It's a pretty, totally like, do. Classic.
Yeah.
Also, I guess a now, like, a slasher rule. Never bathe.
No. Mm-mm. Not if you're...
Be stinky.
Right? I mean, I feel like you can bathe in an apartment. Nobody gets killed in an apartment in slashers. Yeah. Who does?
I'm thinking.
I don't think so.
I'm
I don't
sure
think they
in,
stock
like, Halloween.
Up, they stock, like... Like houses.
Right, yeah.
They're suburb
rich,
killers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, suburbs.
Apartment
rich
dwellers will get shot, like, by just some drug dealer in the street. Like, they're just
you.
Walking down
as
the wrong
someone,
aisle.
As
yeah.
someone who lives alone in an apartment, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you're not going to kill somebody with a mask.
It's a vote of confidence. Honestly, when I first started living alone, like, one of my first thoughts was, like, I was totally afraid to shower. I was, like, I had, like, that psycho, like, moment where I'm like, someone's going to pull open the shower curtain and stab me, and then I'm going to die naked in my bathtub.
I can definitely see that being the case for sure.
You live in a weird location in a brick oven.
Oh, yeah.
It's more likely for you than it is for me. I live in a gated, like, apartment complex. Yeah.
Well, we do have those people in the homeless, like, the, what do you call it, the trailers outside.
It is so easy to get into your apartment complex, and most of the time you leave your door unlocked.
With that, and I also feel like, again, those trailer people might be a little Texas Chainsaw. I kind of do. I've been seeing them hang out.
Do you get Texas Chainsaw vibes?
I get some vibes from them sometimes. I'm just like, I'm not with the chainsaw, obviously.
Is it like Hills Have Eyes?
A little bit. They're a little weird.
Interesting.
They fought one of our security guards.
You have security guards?
Oh, we do now. Yes.
It's a little
24/7.
Now.
Yeah.
And now you do.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, we're pretty holed up now. COVID.
COVID.
Oh my god. No, I can say I remember also the other couple that got killed in the lake. The girl got stabbed on the raft because she was like, my boyfriend's dancing with some other girl. And he's like, no, baby, I'm not an asshole. I'll go back and be naked now. And he dies.
Like, that was stupid.
It's the right level of dumb and weird.
It's a lot of stupidity.
Yeah, the right level of dumb and weird, I think, to be taken out very creatively. Or off screen, you know? Yeah.
Does anyone who's like you've spent like minimal time with and just be like, meh, 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 you know?
Yeah. All right, so speaking of non-teenage fodder, though, Tommy Jarvis, of course, played by Corey Feldman, is considered this franchise's Laurie Strode. Why do you think that would be based on his role in this film? This is his first movie.
Because, honestly, he's, like, one of the most memorable characters because he's such a strong actor, surprisingly.
He is so charismatic in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, even him, like, seeing, like, boobs for the first time, he's, like, acting like a little fucking, like, gorilla in a cage.
Honestly, he was acting like any 12-year-old. Yes. I can imagine, almost seeing titties for the first
time. There was some authenticity there. Like, absolutely. For sure.
Like, when I was laughing my ass off because I was just, like... I get that. Mm-hmm. Like, I absolutely can envision that.
He played a good job being a kid, like, with this, like, weird obsession with the special effects. But he's like, I want to show the stranger, like, look at all the shit that I got.
Be like, hey, let me take you upstairs, stranger, yeah. That I don't know. And, like, definitely mm-hmm. didn't realize that my sister wants to fuck you.
Yeah, yeah. Same shit, because he plays that role really, really well. Yeah. Like, I can see why people are like, and he survives, and he kills Jason, let's root for him. Let's see where his story goes. But then
at the end, it's like this implied evilness?
They keep trying to do that. They're going to try to do it for a couple more movies, too.
Huh.
With Tommy Jarvis. I'm telling you. It gets weird. He's not the same character in the next two movies. Like, he's a lot weirder.
I mean, it's not Corey Feldman.
It's not Corey Feldman.
So he's only Corey Feldman in this movie.
He's only... because they age him up.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
That's...
They gotta get them out fast, Alex.
I mean, but...
$33 million.
I guess.
He had Goonies money. He's not gonna come back to this shit.
That's fair.
He hated Zito. He hated that motherfucker.
Yeah, but like, I mean, and he completed his dream. He wanted to be in a slasher movie. He was mm-hmm. in a slasher movie. He's like, I can check that off the bucket list, and now I'm gonna go roll in my buckets of money and probably mm-hmm. cocaine.
And work with Joel Schumacher on The Lost Boys. See?
And he went to The Lost Boys shortly after.
Exactly.
Wow! What a fucking career. What a
streak right there.
Fucking.
Gremlins also.
Oh my god.
1984's Gremlins. He was in there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was his boy. Jesus.
Wow. Gremlins. Friday the 13th. Fucking. Goonies. Lost Boys. Wow.
Feldman was.
No wonder everyone from the 80s loved him. He was in every fucking movie.
Yeah. He was the shit for, like, a stretch of time. Like, a solid His stretch agent, of time. His agent,
Jesus Christ.
Seriously, he's like, overtime. This kid's printing money.
Overtime.
Oh, my God. No wonder he's, you know, somebody offers some cocaine. He's like, yeah, I'm fucking invincible, dude. I can do whatever I want.
Well, then also, I will take it. He's a 13-year-old working 12-hour days.
Him and Drew Barrymore back in the day. Yeah.
Also They've on drugs.
Some shit. They've seen some shit.
Also on drugs. But also, like, I'd die for Drew Barrymore. I fucking love her.
Oh, we gotta find more movies with her in it.
She hasn't been in any.
I know. Only the fucking Scream movie. God damn it.
The only thing we could possibly ever cover is Santa Clarita Diet.
One of these days.
Only. And that's...
Kind of stretching it.
That's a stretch. That's
like a birthday pick right there.
The only reason we could cover it is because it's involved. There's zombies kind of involved. Okay.
All right. We'll keep that in mind. Just so we can gush about it a little more. But I also think, you know what? That actually makes a good point right there is that this particular role was filled by a pretty iconic actor who was in his prime.
Yes.
Because of that, people want to see where this character goes because this is right just as he was getting famous. Maybe right before because it's early in the year. But by the end of 84, he's Corey Feldman. And this was the beginning of 84.
Corey fucking Feldman.
Exactly. So, you know what? I can see why people are like, well, I guess the Tommy Jarvis character is pretty cool. And then see where it goes after that.
I guess. But it's just like that dead-eyed like stare at the end. Like, I was just like, they're setting it up for a sequel at the end of the final chapter.
You know how these endings work, though? They don't make no sense.
It fills me with rage.
I agree. I agree. It's dumb. So, now, any Friday the 13th plans?
I had mentioned it before. I might get a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, depending. Money's stupid.
I agree.
No, I might, just because it's like tradition, but also I normally go with people. But because of COVID, tattoo parlors have a very strict, like, one, like, you can't bring guests or anything, and it's normally, like, a friend thing.
They gotta be on your body that whole time, you know?
I get it. Yeah. Like, I totally get it. I'm not gonna complain about it. I totally respect it. Totally cool. So, it's kind of lost a little bit of its magic for mm-hmm. me this year, and I think I'm gonna wait, because also part of the, like, magic of a Friday the 13th tattoo special for me is going into an absolutely jam-packed tattoo parlor. Oh,
you're missing part of the vibe.
There's a specialness to it of walking into a tattoo parlor and it's like balls to the wall people and it's loud and there's music playing and like
you wait for two hours
to get like
talking to the people. What are you gonna get? Oh, look at the fucking thing.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just hanging out. Like that's part of it for me. And so not having that is kind of like.
I know. I feel you.
What about you?
I'm going to go see the spiders at the Natural History Museum.
I didn't know the spider exhibit
outdoor.
There's an outdoor spider exhibit?
Oh, and they have all kinds of poisonous motherfuckers.
You hate spiders.
I know, but they're going to be behind glass.
So you're going to go see the spiders?
I'm going to go see. I'm not interacting with these spiders. I'm just going to look at them.
Well, obviously you're not going to interact with them, but you're...
I've interacted with a spider before.
Yeah, in college. To kill it.
No, I held a poisonous tarantula.
You held a poisonous tarantula. Most tarantulas aren't poisonous.
Or a poisonous, hairy, goddamn spider.
Why? Yeah.
My school, UC Davis, they do a thing called Picnic Day every year. So Picnic Day is when hundreds or maybe even thousands of people flood the campus and each department does exhibits.
We had something similar at UCR.
Yeah. It's the biggest one of all the UCs, though. So it's like people flying. Okay, in.
Fuck me, I guess.
Yeah, they'll be thrusting that shit over my direction. I got
Jesus Christ. She's like, I understand what you're saying, but ours is better. But
just so you know, significantly bigger.
Okay, fine. I'll just go fuck myself.
Also, everybody gets real turnt that bad.
Oh, that sounds like fun. We got turnt in ours.
We get turnt hard.
Do you guys have concerts? No.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
What are you talking about? There's plenty of concerts. But
we had three every year, but that's fine.
But the... And stand-up. Fucking... We're going to be an UCR versus UCD podcast right here. Hey, what the fuck? I'm from Riverside. Tell me some shit. No, but...
I was an orientation leader. I will fucking fight you. I bleed blue and gold, bitch.
Oh boy. All right. Let's get it. No. Fucking... No. But the science department... I can't remember which one.
The entomology appointment.
That particular one, yes, yeah. That one.
The bug department.
They had the Madagascar cockroaches, they had snakes, they had all kinds of shit. And at the end of it was, you can hold on to this poisonous-ass tarantula. It was docile. It was raised to be docile. And I just faced my fear right there, and I held the little fucker. I have a picture.
Wow.
I'm going to show you the picture after this.
Please do.
And I was a little scared. But it was so docile. I just felt like the fibers and all the weird like so.
Was it soft?
Very soft.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
So you faced your fears.
But I'm still scared.
It was like your first step in facing your fears.
Exactly.
Okay.
So now I'm gonna see some.
Now you're gonna see some.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. And so I imagine you're gonna be terrified the entire time.
Probably when I first get in there, I'll get used to it. But my spider fear will come back and like. The next time I see a spider afterwards.
Okay.
Like then very next time.
Interesting. So it comes and goes. Okay. It does.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even know there was an outdoor spider exhibit for the Natural History. I've never been to the Los Angeles Natural History Museum.
I went for a
exhibit. They had a horror exhibit not too long ago, and I really wanted to go, but it was also right before COVID, so.
2021. Let's do it.
I put so many plans on hold, and
it's technically November, so we'll see what life we're allowed.
So, funny story. So, when we're recording this, it isn't November yet. Surprise. But I got a notification from my therapist for my next like therapy appointment because I'm in therapy, and it was like. Oh, appointment notification for Friday, November. It was for Friday the 13th. Like, our next appointment is Friday, November 13th. And I was just like, November? Doesn't she mean October? And I'm like, no, we're in October. Right? We're going into November.
We're speeding towards the end right here.
And I... literally. Oh, yeah. And I got really upset because I was like, wow, it is about to be November. In this case, by the time this episode comes out, holy shit,
it's been November for 2 weeks. What the fuck is life?
It's been November.
Oh my god, I'm scared.
But...
Stupid ass here. Oh my god.
Well, no, it's just like the fact that it's like... Because like for some reason, like August and September are like my purgatory months.
Mm-hmm.
And then October, like for some reason this year just went by like fucking that.
Interesting. Like, yeah, no, it has. October totally went
by very, very fast for me. And then suddenly now I'm like, oh, it's Christmas. Like, right? November is immediately Christmas for me. Like, November through, like, January, I'm like, Christmas.
I do feel like September is a sort of weird purgatory month. Yeah. It totally is. It's August, just kind of like a month.
August and September are both purgatory months for me. Like, they...
Oh, both of them. You're right.
They're, like, hazy and hot and just... The nothing's going on. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite.
You know, also May.
Really?
I would say May is one of mine as well.
I think that's only a you thing.
No, like, because my birthday's in March and I still enjoy April. Like, it's within that, like, buzz time period. Yeah,
May is, like, build up to my birthday. It's also, like, for me... So, this is such, like, a distracted conversation. But, so for me, August and September are, like, my purgatory months, and then also March and April.
Oh, see, March is my month, though.
I know, for you, because it's your birth month. So now, for me, it's also no longer a purgatory month, because I'm always doing stuff because it's your birth month.
Yeah, that's right, we are. We're going out during March.
We do. We go out a ton.
Except this last March, but still.
We were still
prior to that.
We were doing stuff beforehand. Yeah, so, exactly. You know, not a big deal. But yeah, so normally, like, April is normally a weird month for me. March and April are normally weird for me. Not so much now. But yeah, and so but it's usually later summer.
I gotta say though, June's a badass month. Thanks. I love June. I've always loved June.
Really?
June's the shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
No, June. Like, I love my birthday, and I will stand by this till the day I die. Just because, like, my birthday is in the middle of the year, so I am always 6 months. So I always have something to look forward to, either Christmas or my birthday. Christmas or my birthday.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, that's a good timeline right there.
Yeah. So
that's probably why May is like, when's the fuck something happening?
Yeah.
Like, I'm past the birthday buzz, and the summer buzz is not quite there yet.
No, so it's still that weird limbo between, like, you know, spring and summer.
And sometimes it rains.
Sometimes it's still stupid. A little cold.
Yeah, I don't know.
I get it.
It's dumb.
This is completely not relevant to our conversation.
It's totally fine. I'm sure there's a fire thing in the middle of there sometime we'll get to it in some year in this podcast going forward. But I mean, bringing it back.
Please, please, God, bring it back.
Kill of the film,
Crispin
Senorita
Glover.
Webster. Yes, I agree. That was mine also.
I think that's because, like, that's, like, the classic one, right? Like, that's the one that everyone is like, oh, wow, that's pretty bad.
Just Ted, where's the damn corkscrew? Yeah.
Corkscrew in hand.
And then, like...
Machete in face.
The most filmmaker moment is him getting hit and then cutting.
Yeah.
Cutting, like, right... That's, like, brilliant.
It was
That's
good.
Fucking good.
That was the one that stood out to me. All the other ones are kind of, like, fodder.
Honorable mention, real quick.
Yeah.
Our boy Jason. By the way, this Jason is a hulking, fast motherfucker, which I like.
Yeah.
He's pretty menacing,
like,
in this one.
He's also, like, kind of, like, bulky.
He is.
Like,
no, he's the biggest Jason so far.
Yeah, he's
so
tall. Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, he's tall, but he's not, like, skinny. He's like a fucking freight train.
He's, like naturally wearing hockey pads.
Yeah, like, I'm just like, wow, you could pick me up and throw me across the room, and I would just, like, be dead.
Yeah. But, like, him macheting the guy in the basement, he's like, he's kind of like me.
Yeah.
That one I was
run!
Like.
Mm-hmm. See, that one was good, too, because I was just like, she's really just standing there, like, bright, like, wide-eyed, and I'm like,
Jason is, like, slashing,
yeah,
though.
I was more just, like, focused on her. I'm like, run, bitch! Did you not listen to what he was saying? Like, get up and go!
That kill was actually inspired by a news story the director saw, where somebody was getting stabbed in the subway, and he was saying the same shit. He's like, he's stabbing me! Somebody help me! Like that. And the director was like, I'm going to use that instinct.
That's horrible.
Slap that in the Friday the 13th movie. But he is, like... He is a Jason in this one. I will say, like, he's a hulking motherfucker. And seeing him, like, you don't see him for most of the movie. When he comes in, he's just like, you can't stop him.
The one thing is, like, because they changed, like, kind of, like, his look so much, is I didn't like that they unmasked him. But this was supposed to be the last one.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I get why they did it.
Yeah, they were trying to make it,
they were trying to make it, like, intense and, like, intentional. And I'm like, I get it, but, like, that was stupid.
He gets unmasked a lot, and it's always different. It's always different. It's fucking stupid.
That's the thing. I'm like, don't unmask him. What's the purpose of having a masked fucking killer if you ever see his face? Fucking Halloween did it right.
Mm-hmm. This is the final chapter, though.
It's the final chapter.
Last horror movie ever.
I was gonna say. So after this, no other horror movies exist. So this concludes.
Listen, I also realized that we haven't covered any horror movies before this, but because we just hit this one. And yeah. it is the last one ever.
We can't.
We can't reasonably go back.
We're done.
No, you don't go back. We don't do that. Nope. We don't ever go back.
No, we never.
Dumb people go back.
Ever.
We're not dumb.
Never look back. Keep moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. What's wrong with you guys? Jesus.
God.
Fuck. With that, though, what would you rate Friday the 13th, the final chapter, out of 5 dead fucks?
2.5, straight down the middle.
Ooh, I'm going to give it a 2.75.
Of course you will.
Because of Mr. Glover.
Ah,
particularly because of Mr. Glover.
Like, literally the only reason it has a 2.5 is because of Crispin Glover. Like, ooh. It would be a 2 if he was not in the movie.
Still have Feldman.
I mean, yeah, but, like, and if there was no Feldman, it would have been a 1.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
Like, literally, they carry this movie on their backs.
Now, you know what, though? I'm going to give it a 3. I'm moving it up. Just because, thinking back and how we talked about how it is kind of still the quintessential Friday.
Yeah.
And it still does some things good. I'm going to say 3. With a lot of the caveat of there's a lot of bullshit.
Okay.
But the good stuff's pretty good. Silent porn, kills,
I'm standing
good
by
aesthetic.
My 2.5 only because I'm a harsh critic, but yeah. We've been over this.
No, I always rate above you anyways.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
I'm going to give it a 3. I'll give it a straight 3.
All right.
Above average.
Above average. Barely
above average.
All right. I think that's it. Next week. Ladies and gentlemen, we are covering. So this is one of the rare instances. If you've been a listener for a while on this podcast, you will know what I'm talking about. This is the one instance where we covered the sequel before we covered the original.
That's right.
So we are covering the original of a film that we have covered previously. It's going to be fun.
Oh, I love this one.
It's fun.
I love it.
It's always
love this
fun.
Movie. I can't wait to fucking talk about this movie.
You know what? It's fun fodder. Like, it's fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh,
it changed kind of like the found footage game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to it. It's a meme movie. I'm looking forward to it. We'll talk about it next week.
Absolutely.
If that first sentence made any sense, you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
So that's all you're getting.
Yeah, if not, listen to our entire backlog and give us a 5-star rating and then you figure it out.
Yeah, so based off of what Anthony said, please, please, please give us a 5-star rating and write us a review on iTunes if you'd like. It really means the world to us and it does help keep us all boosted in the charts and stuff. And
absolutely.
You guys are fucking awesome for doing it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for all the extra attention for our 100th episode.
Oh my god, so fucking cool.
We don't get to see the stats in our last one, but this was pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're recording way ahead of time because we're building up a backlog for the holidays because it's always a clusterfuck.
Always a clusterfuck.
Always. Like the past 2
every
years,
time.
Every time. Ugh. It's just like, I can't record now. I can't record now. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. If you like what you heard, give us those ratings. Subscribe wherever you're listening. And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and then we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. And then if you want to follow Mr. Anthony Fuentes,
yo,
you can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. And then if you would like to follow me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And until next time, I don't know, don't fuck twins.
No, fuck twins. That is an achievement right there. But just don't declare your corkscrew intentions.
Yes.
Otherwise
okay, I'll agree
did.
With that.
Otherwise, you did.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Peace.